The Timberwolves' John Folkey is not only one of the best broadcasters in the business, but also KATE alumnus who got his start right here in Albert Lea.
Minnesota's defense, pretty solid. They held Golden State to just 42% shooting.
You've got to find ways to make that up in other areas.
14 offensive rebounds for 20 second chance points.
John Folkey has his finger on the pulse of the team every day up in Minneapolis, making him the perfect person to ask about everything Timberwolves. Every week, Kate Sports Director Nate Dickinson does just that.
Is it becoming any more of a more legitimate concern? Fans are expecting wins. Even if it is there anything you can really do about it?
This is the Wolves Weekly Update with John Folkey and Kate Sports Director Nate Dickinson.
It's time for a Wolves Weekly Update on KATE 1450. Alongside the Timberwolves Radio Network's John Folkey, I'm Nate Dickinson. Talking Wolves every single week, and unfortunately, it's our last week doing so as the Timberwolves regular season will come to an end tonight. And we'll get to all that in a moment, but I actually want to start with the Lynx, John. The WNBA draft is tomorrow, and the Lynx have four picks in the top 20, and definitely some holes in need of filling. What areas do you think they need to address with those picks?
Yeah, actually, the draft is tonight.
Oh, I'm sorry. So, well, there we go.
Yeah, I'll be pulling double duty. I'll be at the draft party from 5 to about 8:30, and then heading back to our studio for the pregame show at 9. So it's an exciting. It's obviously a busy day, but you know, Minnesota's got the number 6 pick in the first round, and then 3 in the second round, and 1 in the third. So opportunities to add to their roster. And Lynx head coach Cheryl Reeves held a little pre-draft media availability yesterday, and you know, I asked her about if they've tried to move up in the draft, because you know, you look at the top couple of spots and there's some really good players and potential for good players right there. And she said they've tried, but so far nobody's really returned their phone calls. Mainly because, you know, you look at the success that this group has had with four championships from 2011, and you know, teams are sick of seeing that success and not wanting to help out Minnesota. So this year is going to be a little bit different. No Lindsey Whalen, no Maya Moore. It sounds like Rebecca Brunson is still kind of questionable. You know, she got a concussion at the end of last season, and they're just taking it day by day with her. So obviously, those are some big holes. I mean, when you think about that run from 2011 until last season, Lindsey Whalen, Rebecca Brunson, and Maya Moore were, you know, just players that you could slot in there day in and day out. They were going to be there. You knew exactly what they were going to give you. And this year, you're going to have to find players that can step up and fill those roles. And, you know, I think the Lynx have done a good job from free agency so far in adding some depth in some areas. They've developed some players, and I think you know, the coaching staff is excited about Cecilia Zandalasini when she gets here, the development of Temi Fagbenle, and then you look at that number 6 pick, or if Minnesota is able to swing a deal and move up, you know, you're going to be adding a good player, a contributor, maybe not a franchise-altering type player, but the Lynx don't necessarily need that. They hopefully have Maya coming back next year, and they've got a former MVP in Sylvia Fowles down low, and I think Danielle Robinson coming back healthy is going to be huge for that point guard spot. So certainly an exciting day as you look to filling out this roster. And then, you know, right around the corner, Nate, we're going to get into training camp, and by the end of May, we'll be off and running with this season. So it's going to be a different journey for sure, but kind of an exciting way to kick it off with the draft tonight.
Yeah, it's crazy that we're going to have another season starting right away. And of course, no days off for you either. Let's move on to the Timberwolves. The team PR just announced a little bit ago that they've started the search for a new president of basketball operations. What is the landscape on a market for the job like that? Like, are there guys available who are regarded as good at doing this? I feel like people, if a head coaching vacancy comes up, they're able to pick out, okay, here's a potential guy, here's who would be good. At least the general public has a better idea, but I don't think people quite understand just what the market is for a job like this. And to be clear, by people, I do mean me.
Well, you know, I think when you look around the NBA and you look at successful front offices, you've got, you know, a president of basketball operations, you've got a general manager, you've got assistant general manager, you've got, you know, a lot of people in the scouting department and maybe the salary cap area. And, you know, front offices have just gotten bigger and bigger as, you know, teams have needed to rely on getting the best possible value for their picks, for the players that they bring in, for free agents, for trades. I mean, all those things have become so important in this day and age of managing that salary cap and trying to be successful without going over it. And so, you know, you're right in the sense that when you talk about coaches, everyone can say, oh, well, this assistant coach, you know, is part of that great staff, and this assistant coach, or, you know, this head coach has been out of the league for a year, they would be a great fit. In terms of the front office, it's maybe not as well known, but there are a lot of guys out there. And again, you can go through, you know, some of the successful front offices and start to look at who are the assistant GMs, who are, you know, the head of scouting, who are the head of salary cap, and say, okay, you know, what experience do those guys have, and will they fit with this team, you know, in terms of the philosophy? And I think the other thing is, are they ready? There's some former players out there. There's some former executives, you know, that are maybe in the media right now that have been out of the league for a year or so. And so there's a lot of names being tossed around. The crazy thing, Nate, is that there's a lot of openings all of a sudden.
Yeah.
I mean, you got Washington looking for a new, you know, a new president of basketball operations. You've got New Orleans in the same position. We just saw Magic Johnson step down unexpectedly last night from the L.A. Lakers. The Suns might be in the market for somebody, and certainly Minnesota, as they announced, is as well. So there's going to be some competition out there. I think, you know, you look at the pieces that the Wolves have, and kind of going forward, there's going to be some decisions that need to be made on, you know, the current roster, and Tyus Jones being a free agent, or excuse me, a restricted free agent. Derrick Rose, Taj Gibson, Luol Deng, Anthony Tolliver being free agents coming up starting in July. So there's a lot of questions, and, you know, you hope that Minnesota can get this taken care of quickly and find the right person for the future, and then, you know, get everything, get all their ducks in a row as we get ready for the draft coming up in June, and then, like I said, free agency after that.
But from what you're telling me, this is a thing where it's much more personalized and what a team is looking for, more than where if again, I'll use the head coaching thing, there might be in an offseason one guy who is the clear guy to get since he's available among teams looking.
Well, I think it could go either way. I mean, there are some big, you know, there's some hot names out there right now in terms of who could be a good, you know, president of basketball operations, head of your front office, those types of things. But, you know, at the same time, it is specialized in the sense that you want to find someone who fits what your team is and where your team is going. And, you know, you want those visions to align. And so I think, you know, you take all those things into consideration.
Is finding the person for that job, and you kind of did explain this a little bit a moment ago, is that the first order of business once the game ends tonight and the powers that be sit down tomorrow? Is that the first thing on the agenda, or if not, what do you think should be or is?
I mean, that's what it sounded like from that press release, you know, that they're going to start searching for that position. And then, like I said, once you figure that out, then the rest of the things sort of fall into place. And so, you know, right now that's what we know, is that the team is looking for a president of basketball operations, and so that's where they'll start, and we'll go from there.
Now that it's coming to an end and everyone's kind of able to look back at the season as a whole, you obviously can't say it was a success, but you can't say it was such a big failure with everything that happened that you need to either tear it down or make huge, huge changes to, like, the foundation of the team. How does everyone within the organization view what this season was?
Well, I think, you know, you obviously wanted to follow up the playoff appearance a year ago by getting back there again this year. But as you mentioned, you know, there were a lot of extenuating circumstances, from the Butler situation at the beginning to a coaching change in the middle of the season, and then just the myriad of injuries that besieged this team over the last couple of months of the year. And so I think everybody wishes we were gearing up for another playoff push. And, you know, certainly I do, because last year at about this time, we were headed down to Houston and missed the big April snowstorm. And unfortunately now, I don't have that escape. And so I'm going to be stuck shoveling like everybody else over the next couple of days. But, you know, I think you saw the development of Karl-Anthony Towns. And, you know, it's been incredible to watch, especially since the All-Star break, the way his game has gone to another level. And done so in areas outside of just the scoring and the rebounding, the three-point shooting, the assists, I think, and we've talked about this a number of times, his defensive development has been great this year. And, you know, maybe if you watched just at the beginning of the season, you wouldn't feel that way. But if you watch game in and game out, he's definitely evolved on that side of the ball. I think the play of the two rookies, Josh Okogie and Kata Bates-Diop, I think their development has been outstanding. You know, Okogie kind of got thrown into the fire, and I've just loved the way he's responded, you know, made a name on the defensive end, but at the same time developed his offensive game, and now you're seeing a much more complete player at this point in the season than at the beginning. And Kata Bates-Diop, how they handled his rookie year from, you know, being up with the big club at the beginning of the year, going down to the G League and getting a chance to play, to acclimate to the game, and then coming back and being ready to go when Minnesota needed him. I think those are great storylines. And then the other thing, too, is just finding guys from the G League. And, you know, like I talked about before with regard to the front office, is you've got to be efficient in finding guys that can compete and, you know, keep that salary cap good and give you assets and flexibility. And so I like the way that Minnesota went out and identified Cam Reynolds, signed him to a couple 10-day contracts, and then locked him up to a multi-year deal that, you know, is very team-friendly. And it gives you an opportunity to see whether or not he can become a rotation player. And if he isn't, then you've got a way to get out of that. And same with Mitch Creek, a guy that was just signed to a couple 10 days as well. So, you know, all in all, I think those are some of the positives that you take away from this season, even though you didn't end up in the postseason.
Draft's a while away, but a little just insight into it. Looks like the Timberwolves will end up around 10, unless, of course, they jump into that top four. And then they have the second-round pick from the Miami Heat, which, since they've now missed the playoffs, is going to end up around where it would have been if it was the Timberwolves' pick. We've talked a lot about what the Timberwolves need to get in this draft, some help on defense, 3-and-D guys, kind of stuff like that. But are there any names who are starting to emerge as guys the team might like? Again, it's so far away that I don't really even expect you to have a solid answer for me on that, but it's something where fans are going to start turning to the draft now that the season ends tonight.
Zion Williamson?
Yeah, there you go.
I think he's a guy that the team would like to have. You know, at this point, I mean, it's so hard because, like you said, we don't know until I think it's May 14th when the draft lottery happens. We don't know what position Minnesota is going to be picking at. And so, you know, they're obviously not going to be a number one or number two unless something insane happens. But in the history, the 30-year history of this franchise, they've never actually moved up in the draft lottery. They either end up where they're supposed to or they've gone backwards. So, you know, I'm not banking on suddenly this group ending up with a number one overall pick. But, you know, so I think once you figure out your president of basketball operations and everything else, then you start to look at this roster and say, okay, what do we need? Where are we picking? What are the possibilities? And, you know, at the same time, you start identifying free agents. And so there might be somebody on the draft board that fans say, oh, well, we should pick him, we should pick him. But maybe they've identified them, you know, a player of similar skill set, but is a veteran, you know, on a contract that they like or whatever the situation is, as someone they want to go out and get in free agency. So I think that's definitely something to keep in mind. But, you know, all of that, it will happen once you get a president of basketball operations in and, you know, you start to figure out and chart the vision for this group. And, you know, I think the biggest thing that you've got to just keep in the back of your mind is, you know, they've been running the offense through Karl-Anthony Towns. And obviously, you know, we talked how successful he's been in the second half of the season. So finding players that fit around him, you know, can you play through him? And, you know, how does this player complement Cat's skill set? And I think that's something to keep in mind, whether it's the draft or free agency. You know, is this player someone who can take pressure off of Cat? All those types of things to come into it. But, you know, Cat's locked in for, you know, that extension that he signed at the beginning of last year that kicks in this offseason. And so, you know, he's definitely the focal point moving forward, and finding the pieces around him to make him and this team successful is going to be key.
Well, the Timberwolves take on the Denver Nuggets tonight in the last game of the regular season. After that, it'll be on to the offseason and working towards the 2019-2020 campaign. Not for John Folkey, though. He's always working. I know you're going to miss, you're going to get that April snowstorm, John, but again, like I said, take some days off, maybe go down south for a bit.
We'll definitely get a couple of days off, and actually I'm going to be heading out to Portland, Oregon to spend some time with both my brothers, something we haven't had an opportunity to do since the 2012 Olympic break. So it's a long time coming. I will not be going anywhere warm. We're planning on doing some skiing and enjoying Mount Hood, and then right back at it. By the time I get back, we'll be ready to roll for Lynx training camp, and away we go.
Yeah, I was going to say, Portland's not better. Brothers are okay reason, I suppose. But we'll we'll talk to you again throughout the Lynx season, John. And thanks again for talking to us throughout the year about the Timberwolves campaign. Hopefully we'll have some more talking to do next season as the Timberwolves get back into the playoffs.
All right, it's been my pleasure, man. Great talking to you, and I'm looking forward to checking in throughout the summer.